Nah, that wasn't rhetorical. It just went over your head. Back to Gruber.
I'm sailing away.
There was a time when liberalism meant a defense of free speech. There was a time when liberalism meant limited government. There was a time when liberalism meant hands off by the government on business and the economy. Liberalism today is not what it used to be, I think it's fair to say. But let's get the professor here to hold class for a moment or two. Richard Ebling, the American Institute for Economic Research Senior Fellow and the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on again.
So the headline on your article from just recently, free market liberalism is needed more than ever. Please explain the evolution, the genesis of what liberalism means today and what classical liberalism meant.
Well, the term liberalism dates from the 19th century, early 19th century, and it came to be the sort of the brand of what it meant to be an advocate of individual liberty. If you were a liberal, let's say in the America of the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s, or in Great Britain as well, obviously, it meant that you believed in a philosophy of individual freedom, private property, free markets, free trade, and constitutionally limited government that had its purpose the securing of our freedoms and an impartial rule of law.
So where did it all go wrong?
Well, basically what happened, it occurred in the late 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. Socialism had arisen as a new ideology that was gaining traction among intellectuals and an attempt to spread the ideas in the general public. But the problem is that for many people, socialism had the connotation, well, the government takes over owning everything, the government's going to plan everything, the government's going to control and direct your life. And so in America, not so much in Europe, but in America, what happened is that the socialists said, well, you know, liberalism of the old type was fine. Yes, you know, a person is going to be protected from violence and the aggressions of his neighbor. But we need to have a positive notion of liberalism, not just negative. And there needs to be a new liberalism, a social liberalism, in which government not only protects you in the negative sense, but provides you with things in the positive sense. Are you really free if you don't have enough income to have a decent life? Are you really free if others have more wealth than you? Because then you feel envy. You have a sense of being held back. So therefore, the new liberalism believes in redistribution of wealth. The new liberalism means an activist government providing social welfare to members of society.
And so they basically
the new brand of it.
Yeah, they perverted it to something that it wasn't before, is what you're telling me.
Correct. And this basically really particularly emerged beginning in America in the 1930s. The New Deal, Franklin Roosevelt's administration, that became the heyday of transferring the meaning of liberalism from that sense of individual liberty and limited government to the idea of an activist government that redistributes wealth and regulates people's lives, quote, for the better good.
But if memory serves, there could have been somebody before that. William Jennings Bryan may have brought similar ideas. He did to the presidential races in 1896 and 1900, and through that entire time period, running for president three times, I believe, on very similar notions.
Yes, and that's when this was happening, as I suggested, in the late 19th and early 20th century, when people like William Jennings Bryan was running, the emergence of the American Progressive Era. And that all arose because a bunch of American students had gone to particularly places like Germany to finish their graduate degrees.
Sure.
There were master's degrees in the U.S., but not PhDs. So if you wanted to earn a doctoral degree, what you did is you went to Germany and you studied with German professors. And these German professors were advocating all these this new enlightened progressive ideas of activist government. And so they came back And they became political advisors. They became professors in American universities. And their whole approach was, well, we are the enlightened progressives who have this idea of a positive liberalism rather than the negative old one.
So let me ask you this.
Just continued.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Professor Richard Ebeling here. Let me ask you this. Teddy Roosevelt, a progressive in many regards, how would he fit into this whole narrative?
Unfortunately, he represents, if you will, the Republican wing of this. Is that remember? But Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt were kind of distant cousins, in opposite, literally in opposite political parties. But Theodore Roosevelt was a form of the Republican version of this. And the government has to break up big business. Government has to regulate the private sector. Government has to have an activist hand of extending federal control over the states. And so, unfortunately, Theodore Roosevelt was in many ways the Republican application and version of this new liberalism that today we more identify with the Democratic Party.
But what is liberalism today, even compared to, you know, 1912 or when Roosevelt left office or when Woodrow Wilson took office, a radical socialist, following his term in office? But here's the question. My point being is, what would they compare to today's liberals who want, you know, government control of healthcare, government control of, well, basically everything, if given the opportunity, if I'm seeing it right.
Right. What in one sense, is that this American progressive liberalism has sort of basically come full circle, where at the beginning of the 20th century, they said, you know, we want government to be active. But, of course, we're not really total socialists. And today, liberalism in America, through this progressivism, has now sort of come out of the closet, if you will. And now that they've re-presented themselves as, what are they? The Democratic Socialists, in which now the American liberals have transformed themselves into advocates of government, a single payer, government free this, free that. And if you listen to them, the Bernie Sanders and the others,
sure,
if you listen to them, what you now have is a proposal that freedom in the old sense of the old liberalism is to be gone. And government is to be the heavy-handed paternalist who will provide everything, regulate everything, control everything, redistribute anything. And if this becomes the new liberalism, then the word will have been transformed not even into what those earlier ones wanted, but in a sense, totalitarian liberalism.
Which is a different thing, which has cost tens of millions of lives in the 20th century alone. You would think that people would finally figure it out, but apparently they don't, Professor. And on that, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think that one should just believe in liberty in the way the Founding Fathers meant and wanted Americans to have. A limited government that secures our freedom does not violate or abridge it. And to be suspicious of anyone, however they label themselves, who wants government to do things for them. Because no government can do anything for us that can't at the same time have the power to do things to us.
That's exactly right. Professor Richard Ebeling, American Institute for Economic Research Senior Fellow, also the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Thank you, Professor, for the lesson on this Friday.
My pleasure. Wonderful to talk with you.
Always is. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Let's see here. It's 41 after. If you ever want to catch an interview like this because you want to hear it again, go to stevegruber.com. The podcasts are powered by Podbean. They're all there for your listening pleasure. You can also share them with your friends. We'll be right back after a quick break on The Steve Gruber Show.
Are you finally ready to lose weight? I mean, for real this time. Sure, you've tried before, but when you didn't get anywhere, you gave up. Well, I have a solution. MyPureHealthSolutions.com, formerly Nutrimost. Hormonal imbalances are the root cause of not only your weight gain, but mood swings and discomfort, too. MyPureHealthSolutions.com has the technology to get to the root cause of your weight gain once and for all. MyPureHealthSolutions.com. We'll customize a program to fit your specific needs. That's MyPureHealthSolutions.com.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.